We continue in Chagiga Dav Dalet Amid Beis. A little more, not quite halfway down the page. Today is day of crying, as you'll see what I mean. It's all Agadata, all the same theme, and it's as you'll see in the very first line over here. Rav Huna kimote lahai kra. When Rav Huna came to this pasuk of Yireh, Yireh, which was the very last drush we gave. We said that a person can only see in one eye is exempt from going to the pilgrimage festival. Why? Because the pasuk is written one way, but it's read another way. Yireh, we'll see. Yireh will be seen. Okay? And we said that just like one, you know, you have to have two eyes to see, and just like Hashem is seen by two eyes, so you have to be able to have both things applying, and that excludes the person with one eye. So when he came to that pasuk, bochi, he wept. And why did he cry? Amar, he says like this: you see from the pasuk that at least three times a year, the king wants to see, Hashem wants to see you. He's looking forward to seeing you. So he says, Eved Shirabo Mitzapelo Leroso, a servant whose master looks forward to see him. And that's what the pasuk is saying. Three times a year, you will be seen. Not just you will see. Not only you will see Hashem, but you will be seen. That means Hashem wants to see you. Hashem's longing to see you three times a year. And now what has happened since? Yisrachek mimenu, how could it be that the master suddenly distances himself from the servants, right? Which means, right, obviously, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we can't see Hashem anymore. Now, let's look at the commentary here. The Gemara mentions both the written form, Yireh, that's the Masoras, he shall see, and the pronounced form, Yireh, he shall be seen, even though only the latter teaches that God once yearned to see Israel to indicate that God's rejection of the now hateful pilgrim soul. In other words, really, we only need part of this drasha now. But we see not only does he no longer yearn to see the pilgrim, he does not even wish to be seen by him. There's two things. In other words, sometimes you could say that I don't want to see him. But it's also, it's worse, I don't even want to be seen by, I don't want to be seen by him either. I don't want to see him, and I don't want him to see me. That's how bad it is. That's how good it was when we had a temple, and now you see how bad it is. Now, what did he base that on? Because, well, the first pasuk is what Hashem wants, but we see later on, you can only cry in conjunction with another pasuk. Dichsiv, because it says in Isaiah, Ki sovo leroas ponai, when you come to appear before me, mi bikesh zos miedchem, who asks this from you? Who wants this from you? Ramos chatzerei, to trample on my courtyards. Right? And remember, we learned earlier that's the idea of wearing shoes, right? So the same thing. So in other words, Hashem saying, I don't want you to trample my courtyards anymore. So when he came to the pasuk, when it was the good times, when the Torah says, you shall be seen and to see me three times a year, now Hashem says, who asked you to God? I don't even want to see you guys. That's reason to cry. That's the first pasuk Rav Huna cried by. Right? That was Rav Huna, correct? Rav Huna. And I'll get another Rav Huna. Rav Huna seemed to cry a lot. Rav Huna ki moti lahai kra. So this was connected to our topic. Now, once we got crying, the rest of the page, different rabbis, different psukim would evoke crying from them. Rav Huna ki moti lahai kra. When Rav Huna came to this pasuk, Bachi, he cried. And what pasuk was this? This pasuk is in the end of Sefer Dvarim. It says, V'zavachta shlamim, you will slaughter sacrifices that are shlamim, v'achalta sham, and you will eat them there. That's when we had a Beis HaMikdash. We come to Yerushalayim and do that. And Hashem would be very happy that we should come and eat with him. Again, same idea. Eved sherabo mitzapa lechel al shulchano, a master who longs for a servant to eat at his table, because that's what shlamim are. Now, other korbanos are totally burnt. You don't get any of it. But a shlamim, you get to eat together with that as well. Right? And shlamim comes the word peace. And it brings peace between the Jewish people and their Father in heaven. And the Zohar says that the Shlamim is the most desirous of all the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Even though the Ola is an amazing Korban, it's all burnt up and it all goes up to Hashem and it's so holy, and it's called a Kachim Kachim, that's a higher level of holy sacrifices. And a Shlamim is really a lower level of holiness because you could eat it anywhere around Yerushalayim. So it's less holy, but the Zohar says that Hashem, it's more beloved him that Korban than all their Korbanos. Because that's because the Jewish people are enjoying it too. They're part of the process. So you see that Hashem was very happy to have us dine with him, as it were. So when he came to that pasuk, he would cry. Because why? Because now, Yisrachik menu, how could it be that the master suddenly distanced himself from the servants? Dichsiv, because you see the prophet says, in Isaiah again, Lama li rov ziv chechem Yerushem, what do I need all your numerous sacrifices if you don't really care about me? So therefore, again, a sad thing that he cried about. Okay, now I move on to other rabbis. This is the two psukim that Rav Huna cried for. Rabbi Elazar, Kimati Lahaikra Bachim, Rabbi Elazar came to the following pasuk. He would cry. Kara, he Bachi, he would cry. Now what's this? It says, when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers for the very first time when they were alone in his chambers, what does the pasuk now say? Lo yachlu echov la'anos oso. The brothers could not answer him. Ki nivhalu mipanov, for they were astounded before him. And this was a time of the ultimate rebuke that Yosef gave them. Ani Yosef ha'odavichai, is my father still alive? And they were so surprised to see him. Now, and who was the one giving the rebuke? Just a human being. And they were astounded. They couldn't, they're speechless. So now he makes an a fortiori argument. And what do we see? That by a rebuke of a mere flesh and blood causes people to be so astounded that they cannot respond, right? Now it's interestingly, there's a whole interpretation. Marsha explains he didn't really give them a rebuke, but they were afraid he was going to give them a rebuke. He only said, I'm Yosef, my father's still alive. So, and they were still embarrassed. Can you imagine when God's going to really give you, it's not going to be a flesh and muscle, we got. However, many commentaries say that Yosef did give them a rebuke. When he said the famous word of the Beis Halevi, Briskarov, he says, Ani Yosef ha'odavichai. I am Yosef, is my father still alive? So the obvious question is, why did he ask, is my father still alive? They just told you, Yehuda just told it to him 2 minutes ago. He gave him a whole soliloquy where he tells him that, you know, we went over the whole story. We were 12 sons from one father, and one who wasn't here, and now you have Binyamin. How can I go back to my father if I don't bring back a son? So clearly the father's alive. So if you learn Balabatish, yeah, so then what's he asking? Is my father still alive? So if you learn Balabatish, you could say, maybe he didn't believe him. Maybe just, you know, pulling out the violin. Maybe Yaakov was really dead. And they're just saying, pulling the whole story to make a... So I say, really, is my father really alive? That's the Balabatish pshat. But the Lomdish pshat is that the whole... What are you saying? What are you saying? You're telling me that, how can you do such a thing? Your father won't be able to take it. He's going to die. So the basically says, this is really why Yosef took Binyamin the whole time. He took Binyamin the whole time so that the brothers would behave in a contradictory fashion, and they'd give themselves the rebuke. What do we mean? So what are they saying? Listen, you can't do, okay, even according to you, the Binyamin stole it. I don't care. We can't go by the law over here because the father will not be able to take it. So Yosef says like this, now that you said it, Taka, your father won't be able to take it. So I ask you a question. Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. Put me in the place instead of Binyamin. Just substitute me with Binyamin. Ha'od avichai, do you think my father could still be alive when you sold me? You didn't think about that when you sold me, did you? So it's not, you know, so you could say everything you want to say, that you thought I was this, you thought I was that, all these excuses, you think I'm going to be like Esav and I'm going to usurp the throne and I'm going to do all these terrible things. Right? But at the end of the day, you say, listen, in spite of everything, we can't hurt our father. And why didn't you think about hurting your father? And so, Ella, what, it has nothing to do with your father. There was something else. So, and this, they couldn't, that's when you can't answer. When you're self-contradicted, It's not, when somebody tells you you're doing something wrong, you always have an excuse. You know? You say, how come you don't come to shul? Well, you know, I'm really tired. It's really tired, 6 o'clock in the morning. Fine. That's what Shem's going to do. He's going to ask, how come you didn't come to shul? Not you guys, other people. He's saying, how come you didn't come to shul? Oh, it's too early. You couldn't get up so early. Then they're going to show you another clip. You got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to Florida for a 6 o'clock flight. So someone said, what do you mean it's too early to get up in the morning to go to Florida?
Or you had an early tee off on the course.
You had an early tee off at the course. You're up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So what do you drain me a cup? The answer is you're a big liar. That's the person's too ashamed to answer. So that's what we're going to say. So now, Tochacha Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rebuke of Hashem, Alach Es Kama Kama, all the more so, how much is the rebuke going to be? And we're not going to be able to respond to that as well. Next, Rabbi, Rabbi Lezer came out to the high crowd when Rabbi Lezer came to this Pasuk, Bachi, he cried. And another story that you're well aware of. Vayomer Shmuel El Shaul, where Shmuel said to Shaul, this is the story when Shaul was going to be, had to go to war with the Plishtim, the last battle of his life. And the Plishtim were they armed themselves to the hilt. And Shaul was clearly outnumbered. And Shaul had wanted to ask his prophets and all the others who could tell him a little bit about what's going to happen in the future. And there was no response from any of the prophets, any of the ways to be able to predict things in the natural, halachically permitted ways. He couldn't ask. He couldn't ask the Kohen, the high priest, who had the Urim Tumim, because he had run away from him. He had no idea what's going to happen. It looked very bad. So in great desperation, what's the story? He went to a witch who is able to bring people back from the dead. And he asked that Shmuel Hanavi should be brought back to him. And Shmuel Hanavi was brought back. But the problem is, as you'll see in a minute, the witch, now when the person's brought back, part of the rules of the witchcraft is that only the witch can see the person who's being brought back to life, temporarily, but cannot hear what he's saying. And the person who you're bringing it back for can hear what the person's saying, but you can't see him. Okay? So as soon as the witch did her thing, so Shmuel is hearing, I don't know how this works, this black magic, he's hearing a voice penetrating all the way into Gan Eden, and it sounds like God is calling him, you know, we have to bring you to judgment. And he already was judged once. He's going to be judged again. And Shmuel's getting scared. Why would God bring me back to judgment again? It's scary. Even for the souls up there, it's scary. And he's really scared. So what did he do? He says, Moshe. He's with Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Moshe, do me a favor. Come with me. I want you to testify to whoever the Beis Din is that I did everything it says in your Torah. Moshe says, I'll come and testify to you. So this is the power of black magic that in those days was able to make the dead really think that they're being summoned by Hashem. If Hashem summons you, you go, but it's really not Hashem. So Shmuel comes. Now, the witch, as soon as she... So what happens? Normally, the way it works is that when the witch brings the person back, the person comes upside down. The person appears upside down. Because there's only so much you could do, you know. Only so much black magic can work. However, there's one exception to the rule. That if for a king, the person will go straight up and honor the king. Now, this witch did not know that it was Shaul HaMelech, the king, who had asked for this, because Shaul had killed out all the witches before. But his general saved one witch. Who's the one witch the general saved? The general's mother. So anyway, so the witch didn't even know it was Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech came under disguise. And all of a sudden, she sees that the person is standing straight. She almost faints. She says, what's going on? Oh, you must be Shaul HaMelech. So she recognized Shmuel, because everyone knew who Shmuel was. She says, there's another guy there. She says, what do you mean there's another guy there? The other guy was Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. So that's all. It's all the lead up to this Pasuk now. Okay. It's all the story for the Pasuk now. What's going on over here? So the first thing Shmuel says to Shaul, when Shmuel chapped, what happens? See, first he's coming, he thinks Hashem's calling him. You're going through different spheres, I don't know, and he's bringing Moshe. And as soon as he realizes he's been brought to planet Earth, and they say, ain't Hashem. So right away, Moshe Rabbeinu left. He says, I see I'm not needed. He came and then left immediately. Shmuel was still being held by that power, so to speak, and now he was here. So now Shmuel says the following. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul. Shmuel says to Shaul, Loma hirgastani lalosasi. Why did you disturb me to raise me up from the dead? So disturbing, right? This all, see, all the comments, this is all what I told you, all this, okay? That's all, it's interesting. We can skip all that. I spoke it all out. Okay, so now, what does he mean? Because he was afraid, saying, what did you disturb? What do you mean, disturb me? Okay, simple pshat, you can say, when a tzaddik's in Gan Eden, to go anywhere is a disruption. But no, he thought he was going to be judged, and that's what Gemara is going to throw in now. Uma Shmuel hatzadik. Shmuel was mamish hatzadik. And hoya misyari min adin. He was afraid from the judgment because he thought he was going to be pulled into judgment. Mistakenly, that's what pulled him away. But for that moment that he thought he was going to be judged, he was afraid. So he said, why did you cause me to be disturbed? Why did you have to scare me like this? Now why should Shmuel be scared? What's the worst that's going to happen? He said, tzaddik. No, Shmuel thought, you never know, Hashem's going to find something bad about me and I'm going to get some kind of punishment up here. So Shmuel was concerned. Anu alach as kama v'kama. Us the more so, shouldn't we be concerned? Now, the Gemara figures, you don't know all the background that I just told you. So now the Gemara fills in the background now. Shmuel mahi, what's the story with Shmuel? Right? What's the story with Shmuel? Like, what's going on over here? Now, here's the story. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says over there when the witch brought him up, Vatomer ha'isha el shol, the woman says, the witch said to Shol, Elohim ra'isi olim, or Elohim really, because I saw a great man ascending from the earth. Now, it's interesting. Look at, what does it say? Ra'isi olim. What's olim mean? Ascend for the plural, lim, im. It's not ole. Ole would be one person. So she's saying olim. Now, Shaul asked only to bring Shmuel. So she should say, I see a man, ole. Ole means one person ascending. Olim means more than one person ascending. So that's what Gemara says. Olim, when it says the plural, olim tremash implies two people. Well, how could it be two people? They only asked for Shaul. Shmuel. The answer is Chad Shmuel. One of them was Shmuel. The Idach, and the other one was, doesn't say, but it was Moshe. Okay, how do we know that? The Ozel Shmuel, because when Shmuel had to go, Va'aisel Moshe Bahadja, he brought Moshe with him. Why did he bring Moshe with him? Amar Le, Shmuel said, Moshe, do me a favor. Dil Machas Vishom Ludina Mitbanai. Could be I am being summoned to judgment. Right? Okay, whoa, yeah, that's great. So maybe I'm going to be judged for something. Now the question is, what could he have been judged for? He was mamish, an unbelievable tzaddik. So the truth is, there was an earlier incident in his life. If you don't know, you might know, I don't know. When Chana brought her son Shmuel to the Mishkan, she said, if I have a child, I'm going to dedicate his life to Hashem. So when Shmuel was old enough, still a little whippersnapper, he was brought to the Mishkan, and she and Chana was going to bring a korban of thanksgiving to Hashem, but the Kohanim were not such good Kohanim in those days. They weren't so alacritous, and people would sit around and wait for the Kohen to do the job. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Kohen doesn't have to do all the avoda. There's certain parts of the avoda that a non-Kohen can do, like slaughtering the animal. Certain things a non-Kohen can do, they may, if you have the training. So what happened? They're waiting around. Shmuel says, what's going on over here? We're waiting over here. I'm going to shech the animal myself. He goes to shech the animal himself. The Kohen says, what's going on? I'm going to shech the animal myself. He says, what do you mean? What's this way to do this yourself? The loch is a good shech himself. Who are you to render decisions when Eli, the high priest, is here? What a chutzpah. You're rendering decisions not in front of the Kohen. You should be put to death. And he was going to put him to death. Eli was going to kill him. There's a whole sichsuch over there. And Chana says, what do you mean? This is the child I prayed for. This is, I'll give you another child. She says, no, this is the one I want. Anyway, she was able to barter a deal that he wouldn't get killed. So I guess he was figuring, you know, maybe Eli didn't kill him. But maybe I did something wrong. You know, tzaddik is always worried about this. Could be the thing I did bad. So, that that's a whole thing over there. So he needed Moshe to defend him. Fine. So he said, maybe I did something wrong. So he says to Moshe, Kum Badai, so stand by me and you'll testify. Because I know, Deleka Milsa, the Kisvaraisa, the Lo Kiyam To. I know there's nothing written in the Torah that it did not fulfill. Right? So I did everything properly. And that's why she saw there's two people coming. Again, Moshe left right away when he saw it wasn't. But Shmuel said, why'd you have to scare me like this? Okay, so then Shaul answers. No one was answering me. I needed to answer. But that you see already that Shmuel was afraid. If Shmuel's afraid, then certainly we have what to be afraid.
Question.
Yes, sir.
When Shmuel died, did he not go straight to...
He did.
And wasn't he judged immediately? What's this delay that he's afraid he's going to be judged again, or what?
Okay, so the idea is that even though... Well, here. The Yom Tov of Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim. Why is it called Yom Kippur? We call it Yom Kippur, but the Bible, if you look in the Chumash, it's called Yom Kippurim. If you look in the liturgy, in the Kol Nidre, we say Yom Kippurim. That's plural. So what do you mean the plural judgment? The answer is the living are judged on Yom Kippur and the dead are judged. How is the dead judged? How can be judged? So we believe in multi-level marketing, which means that you're judged positively or negatively. A person leaves this world, he has probably impacted on other people in his life for the good or chas v'shalom for the bad. So therefore, you always get rejudged at certain times, or maybe something's about to happen that's a result of what you did many years before. So there's no concept in Judaism, may he rest in peace. That idea doesn't exist. What do we mean? I think rest in peace means you just lie there in tranquility and they hear organ music pumped in, and that's, you know, Gan Eden. No, even if you're a tzaddik, you don't rest in peace. You're learning Torah. Learning Torah is not restful. You're arguing back and forth, discussing this, that. Who's in peace? There's no peace going on, you know. And truthfully, for judgment, for positive, for negative. That's why always on a yort site, the nifter is judged. The next year he's judged. Well, let's see what your children did in the last year, positive or negative. So if there's a negative thing, you're still going to be judged for it. So that, you know, don't think when a person dies that that's fit. You know, you don't have to worry now. There's nothing to worry about. There's still plenty so you leave something behind. Hopefully it's good. You leave children who are Torah observant. They're doing mitzvahs. It's amazing. You can leave children who desecrate God's name. Well, that's not a good thing.
Once you die, you're not doing anything new. So
no, that's a continuous thing.
But they're doing it as a result of you. You are a direct cause of what they have done. And that's why a person has to realize his actions are immortal. You can't say, well, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Yeah, but there's damage you did, right? Let's say you taught your child not good things. And sometimes we do it directly, sometimes we do it indirectly, right? So if a person had a parent who was screaming and yelling and this and that, and the child learns that behavior, because that's the way you do things, and now he starts screaming and yelling at his kids, so the father gets punished for that, because that kid learned it from you. So that's something you have to be concerned with. That's why with the Yaakov Avinu, when it says, Vayikach Korach, Korach Tud, Ben Yitzar, Ben this, Ben Levi, Ben this, but didn't go all the way to Ben Yaakov. And Yaakov said, you know what? When the story of Korach happens, don't put my name with him. Don't put my name with him. Showing the Yichus. Because I'm not involved. So the question is, what does it matter if you put your name or not? The answer is, that's what he meant to say. Even though he's my great-grandson, don't think he's bad because of me. Because his grandfather, Levi, he was the bad one. And I gave him Musar. Levi is the one who killed out the city of Shechem. Levi did all kinds. It was a rough and tumble guy, Levi. Right? And some people turned it that spirit for good and some for bad. Right? So Korach really was bad. Really bad. So maybe we should attribute it, well, we certainly attribute it to his father, Korach ben Yitzhar, because Yitzhar was not such a great guy. and then you go Gershon Kos, and then Merari, right? And then you go back to, and also he learned a little bad from his grandfather. How about we'll sell it back from Yaakov? No, from Yaakov he didn't learn anything bad.
Korah was quite a learned...
He was, but he also was a sinful man. So when you rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not good. Right. So where did he get that in his, somehow in his, from his father, his grandfather, he learned, okay, the rabbi says you don't have to agree. You know, it's a simple thing. You have to realize, when you come from shul, a person says, you know, the rabbi says this, he doesn't know what he's talking about. A statement like that, you know, that means your kids now know rabbis don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. That's all. And they grew up telling their kids rabbis don't know what they're talking about. You have no idea what kind of terrible damage. And you're going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that long after you died. Unless you've done tshuva to the extent, not just good enough to do tshuva. You have to go to your kids and say, I want you to know, when I said rabbis don't know, I was wrong. That's how far the tshuva has to go. You have to say, because I don't want you to grow up to being as silly as I was. And otherwise you pay. Now, it works for the good too. You know, if you had good midos and you had chesed and your children learned to have chesed, so then you're going to get the benefits of all their good deeds. That's also good. But the negatives come as well. So that's why Shmuel was concerned. It could be something I did that I still hasn't been rectified. And maybe even in my children's time has come, they have to worry about. Okay, next pasuk. Rabbi Ami kimati laikra. When Rabbi Ami came to this pasuk, he cried. The pasuk says in Eicha, and you can cry for every pasuk in Eicha anyway. But the other ones look kind of powerful. Like, I don't know if you would have cried. I would have cried when you saw that Shmuel said, "Why did you scare me?" But they learned psukim properly. But now in Eicha. It says like this: Yitain be'efar pihu. Let him put his mouth to the dust. In other words, he's going to suffer. Ulai yesh tikva. Perhaps there is a hope. Maybe, in other words, do tshuva, break yourself, put your mouth in the dust. These are expressions of self-inflicting suffering on yourself. Maybe it'll bring a kapara. Ulai, perhaps there is hope. This is a famous clause that rabbis use often. Amr, he said, it rhymes a little bit. If you're sophisticated, you hear it. He says like this, Kuli hai v'ulai. You hear the rhyme? Kuli hai v'ulai. Kuli hai, all this suffering and ulai, and only the best I could hope for is perhaps. Maybe you'll be able to have hope. In other words, look what happened. The base of marriage is destroyed. And look how terrible we're suffering. Right? And maybe there'll be hope, right? And after all that, we're still not sure. So that's when you can see, and it's still, we're suffering till today. And we'll lie, maybe it'll help. You hope after you suffered so much, for sure it should help. Only you lie? So that's a famous line. Kuli hai, lie all this, and only I get a maybe out of this. Rabbi Ami, kimati lai, when he gave this pasuk, bachi, he cried, and it's a pasuk in Sefanya. It says, Bakshu tzedek, seek out righteousness. Bakshu anava, seek out humility. If you'll be righteous and you will be humble, ulai sisasru biyom af Hashem. Perhaps you'll be concealed on the day of Hashem's anger. In other words, if Hashem shows his anger and will punish the Jews, if you've been righteous and you've been humble, maybe Hashem will overlook you. In other words, if you're a tzaddik, and now, before Hashem punishes the Jewish people, maybe when he has to punish, when the Holocaust happens, maybe, you know, you'll be the one that will get away. Maybe. So the same thing, Amar, he says the same thing. Kuli hai vulai, all this, and all I get is a maybe, right? Humility is such a great trait. Righteousness is great. And after all that, even with all that, it's only a maybe? So that's what to cry about. Ravasi kimadulai krabach, and Ravasi came to this pasuk, he cried. And the pasuk in Amos says, Sinura, despise evil. Vehevu tov, and love good. Vehatsigu bishar mishpat, and establish justice by your gates. Those are good things, yeah? Ulai, perhaps, Hashem elokates those precepts. Hashem will what? The pasuk goes on, will grant favor and will save you people. Again, kuli hai, all this we got to do, ulai, and all we get is a maybe? Rabbi Yosef came to this pasuk, he cried. The pasuk in Mishlei says, V'yesh nisper below mishpat. There's one who succumbs without justification. Now, this is a wild Gemara, guys. This is going to have to explain more tomorrow. It seems, according to Rashi, it appears there are people who die without any sins, and there doesn't seem to be any justification for the person to die. In other words, you're dying before your time. V'yesh nisper. There's one who succumbs below mishpat without justification. There are people who die without any good reason. Okay, person does averos, he deserves to die. We're not talking a person dying when he's 95, 100 years old. Okay, everybody's got to die. You know, even if he's a tzaddik yet, Rabbi Yashiv had to die, 102. You do die. But, you know, it could be a person just dies without any justification, no reason. Right? And what it seems, and we'll have to clarify more, it seems there really is no reason. Right? As we'll see, so that's what the pasuk says. So when he heard that people died for no reason, he cried. Amr, he said, "Me ikadazulosemna. Is there anyone who leaves this world before his allotted time?" It's what it seems to us today. You go before your time. We're not to say, you know. So they say, yeah, that's true. Now look at this interesting story. Kihader of Bibi Barabai. Let's look at the story of Bibi Barabai. Havishchiach gabei malchamavis. That Malach HaMavos would visit him often. He had a Chavrusa Shaf with him. Some people had Eliyahu Navi visiting him all the time. Some had the Malach HaMavos. And in other words, Malach HaMavos would tell him what he's got, what his job is for today. You know, I don't know why, but he was privy to what the Malach HaMavos, maybe he could go to people and give them the tshuva before they died, I don't know. Anyway, Omar Lay, one day the Malach HaMavos said, Lishluchei, this agent, the Malach HaMavos has agents. He's the top guy, but then he gives orders to his malachim underneath him. It's not just one malach. He's got one. So he tells his agent, Zil Aisila Miriam Magdala Seir Neshaya. Go bring to me Miriam, who is the Magdala Seir Neshaya. She braids women's hair. Okay? I want her to take her. It's her time to go. Okay? It's her time to go. Okay, that's fine. She's supposed to die. So he sends the malach. Okay, here's the name. Here's the address. Go. So it's Miriam, who what? Is one who braids hair. So now the messenger goes. It almost sounds like there's a movie. I think there was a movie about this once, about in the secular world, about this angel who had to earn his wings. Face, you know. And they send the angel, you got to do certain jobs. If you do your jobs, then you earn your wings. And this angel was like a lo yutzlach. He couldn't follow instructions. He always botched up everything. Maybe this story came out of this Gemara. Anyway, Ozel Aisile Miriam Magdala Dardiki. He went to Miriam, but the wrong Miriam. He went to the Miriam who doesn't raise. Magdala means really to raise hair. But here, to raise young children. She was a teacher. There was another Miriam. A case of mistaken identity. Okay? So he, the angel of death, goes to the wrong Miriam. Amarle, the angel said to his, and he kills her. He took her, and that's it. She died. And that was not on the prescription for the day. And this is all Rav Bibi. Rav Bibi is like, knows what's going on over here. So the angel said to this angel, what, here she is. I did the job. He goes, oy vey, Anna Miriam Magdala, Seir Nesharmach. I told you to bring Miriam, the one who braids the hair, not the one who raises kids. You got the wrong Miriam. Amarle. So the agent said, okay, what do you want me to do? You want me to return her? I can bring her back to life for you. You know, we'll just bring her to life. Amarle, he said, Hoyel ve'aisaisile leminya. Since you brought her, let her be numbered amongst the dead. Yes, you ready? Farfallen. You made the mistake she has to say. So now, after hearing this story, so Rav Bibi now, so Rav Bibi sees the whole story is going on. So he asks the Malach HaMavos, El Hecha, but how are you able to take her? Right? How does it work? It wasn't her time. So the angel answers, Havas Nikita Misara Biyada. She was holding a poker in her hand. A poker pokes the coals. In other words, you want to know, how did you technically do it? She was a healthy woman. Like, you just... So, I don't know. I don't know why you had to come out of this. You could just have a heart attack. I don't know. But anyway, this must be very mystical and beyond a simple shot. V'hava kashigra, and she was extending it into the oven. She was near a dangerous spot. So once I had her in a dangerous spot, go to the next page. Umachre tenure, and she was sweeping out the oven. So she's dealing with hot coals and everything. So shekalta v'anchasa agba dekara. She then removed the poker from the oven and accidentally rested it on her foot. That's what I got to do. And kadcha v'itra mazla. She thus burnt herself, and her mazla was impaired. V'aisiso, and thus I was able to bring her. In other words, since her mazla was compromised, it was a weak moment, I was able to get her. Amar le Rabbi Bar Abaye. So Rabbi Bar Abaye said to the angel, do you have permission to act in this way? Right? In other words, he's talking to both of them, the angel of death and his mouth. You know, you're allowed to do that stuff? Amar le, the angel answered him, V'lok Sivan, isn't there a pasuk that says in Sefania, the Yesh Nisba below Mishpat? Are there those who succumb without justification? Okay. So, the pasuk says, okay, we're still not finished the story, but we'll stop over here. Okay, so it's really crazy. So there are some aforesham who explain it. But anyway, that's why he came to the pasuk and cried. You see, sometimes you go, even though you're not supposed to go. So always be ready to go.